Hornet's Nest.
Good morning, this is 2SER 107.3 and you are tuned into The Vulture's Nest, an easygoing extrication of some of the news and culture of the week. Thanks to Andrew Popel for another fine final draft. I'm Sean Morahan, and joining me in the nest this morning are Kate Islin. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
Welcome. And David Polterak.
Good morning, Sean.
Good morning and welcome, David. One of the benefits of our form of government in Australia is that we are allowed to criticise our politicians, and in return they kindly give us plenty to criticise. That implied agreement has had a little extra tension over the last week or so. Advertising creative director Dee Madigan posted a retweet in May. The tweet that she retweeted had an animated GIF, which is an image with no sound. And the image showed Queensland LNP MP Jared Blayey ripping up paper in Parliament. She accompanied it with a comment saying, you know, your tax dollars at work. And made mention of a toddler tantrum. So it was a fairly innocuous sort of throwaway tweet. But subsequently, there's been a little bit of a storm brewing. What happened was Jared Blayey contacted the Speaker of the Queensland Parliament, registered a complaint, and subsequently Dee Madigan got a notification saying that, dear Ms. Madigan, I understand you are a contracted campaigner of the Labor Party Queensland Division. I refer to a tweet by you via your Twitter account and available from, and they quoted the link, and basically highlighted that it was considered to be ridicule of Parliament. Parliamentary proceedings under Queensland law aren't allowed to be ridiculed or satirised if footage or recordings from the Parliament are used in that way. So they basically said that she's in breach in that and asked her to delete the tweet, and she's refused.
Mm.
So part of it, too, is she retweeted somebody else's tweet. So for those of you like me who are still trying to understand Twitter protocol, the image itself wasn't technically embedded in her tweet. It was in somebody else's tweet, and she's basically commented on that other person's tweet but republished it with the image attached. So I was on the website this morning on Twitter, and I saw that the original tweet's still there, Dee Madigan's retweet's still there, and it seems that the Queensland government is still, or the Queensland Parliament is still putting pressure on Dee Madigan to withdraw it, or even they're considering what sort of action they can take. She doesn't live in Queensland, apparently. She lives in New South Wales. So I guess maybe even to start off with, to set the tone here, could I ask you both, David, Kate, have you ever criticised politicians?
Never. No, of course. It's one of the, you pretty much have to criticise a politician. If you're living in Australia and you consume media at all, there's plenty to criticise on both sides.
So it's a good Aussie tradition?
Yeah. It's as Aussie as, you know, meat pies and beer.
I don't think there'd be a day goes by where I wouldn't criticise a politician.
Okay.
In the privacy of my own home.
what about publicly?
I don't think. Well, I never have, and I'm not sure. Publicly, I've demonstrated years ago against apartheid and when Whitlam was sacked, things like that. I've never got up. This is a product of the electronic digital age where people have the means of doing what wasn't possible so easily before. I guess in days gone by you might have printed pamphlets or painted some graffiti expressing your disdain for a particular person. And I suppose if you were caught you'd be fined for, you know, defacing private property. The whole tweet thing's interesting. Especially if she's not the source in this instance of the offending image. And I wonder why they didn't go after the source.
Yeah.
Was she just an easy target? And is it because she was a Labor?
Well, I think that's it, because she's contracted campaigner of the Labor Party. So she's, you know, a creative director in advertising.
Yeah, and she's a public figure. She's, you know, she's outspoken.
Yeah.
I'm personally a big fan of Dee, but she maybe is more of a public figure than perhaps the person who sent the original tweet. Yeah. I don't know who sent it, so I could be wrong.
Oh, so you'd heard of Dee Madigan
prior to this?
She's on the a regular guest on the Gruen Show on ABC.
Oh, very smart lady.
Okay.
Yeah. I think as well she writes columns for one of the papers. I remember seeing her in print. I don't know if it's a regular how regular it is, but I have seen her. You know,
that
write
does
articles
that
as well.
Does suggest that she was a bit of a lightning rod for this particular politician to go after.
Yeah, and the image, there's no sound to it, but it just shows him standing in Parliament ripping up a piece of paper, sort of, you know, perhaps theatrically, in front of Parliament.
So, he provided the material.
mean, that's right.
BYO.
Add your own caption.
Right.
And we're going to get to that a little bit more. I've got a couple more questions for you, but that's one of the questions I'm going to get to you about the motive for doing that. Have you ever publicly satirised or ridiculed someone other than a politician?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think that, you know, there's a really big difference between satirizing someone and ridiculing them and harassing them or threatening them or abusing them. You know, obviously we can't harass and abuse people online or offline. It's not right. But I think that being able to ridicule people and make fun of them is perfectly within our rights. And in turn, we should also be open to being ridiculed and satirized. I mean, you know, we're sitting here on the radio, so to someone, we're a public figure too. And if someone at home is listening and they think that what we're saying or doing is silly, then they can ridicule us all day.
Yeah.
They can even come in and do it to our faces. I don't care.
They can retweet the show.
Yeah.
That'll increase our exposure, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's always been a sort of a basic tenet of what we view as being an Australian right.
Hmm.
Is to ridicule politicians. And I think for as long as I can remember, any reasonable politician has accepted that, you know, they've got their head well over the barricade. So they're perfectly liable to be ridiculed, and they accept it. And that's part of living in a democracy.
That's right. I mean, we used to have Norman Gunston who would do it to their faces. People are lucky that we only have Twitter now. It could be a lot worse.
I'll bring back Norman Gunston.
I agree.
So are the Queensland Parliament picking the right fight here, do you think?
No.
It's interesting. I mean, if there's a law on the books that says you can't satirise the goings-on in Parliament, you know, then you would have to, I suppose, take it to the next level and go to court and argue whether what she did in, well, not her in particular, but whether this image, just by being footage of him doing something which he chose to do, he wasn't forced to do it, it wasn't in the privacy of his home.
Yeah.
I mean, where is the satire? Is it just the fact that the image is repeated? I mean, I think lawyers could have a field day trying to decide to what extent satire even existed by showing a politician doing what he'd done.
Yeah.
And not only that, but does retweeting something mean that you agree with it?
Yeah.
Is that a comment on the individual's opinion? And is that opinion that the individual holds a threat to the way our government runs? It's a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
Well, the Queensland Parliament rule is that the further publication of the broadcast of proceedings not be used for satire or ridicule. Do you think that needs to be satirised or ridiculed?
I do. I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, it makes me wonder, do such regulations exist in other jurisdictions?
And I must admit, I was wondering the same thing. I haven't had time to fully research yet to find out if it exists in other states. It's the first I've heard of it, and I don't think in other states they would have had any lack of testing the rules.
Yeah.
Because as we've mentioned previously, it seems to be the national sport.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's one of those things that I'm sure that there, I mean, I was thinking perhaps there's some kind of copyright law in terms of, you know, reproducing broadcasts or transcripts of what goes on in Parliament, which I guess would be, you know, a fair law to have. But I think it could be one of those things that's rarely enforced because it would just be so hard and such a waste of time.
Yeah.
Everything that's going on in the world today and in Australia, and that's what is picked up. Like, I can think of some bigger issues that we're having as a country.
I mean, because politicians do have that right to say within a chamber things which they can't say outside without the risk of being sued for defamation.
Yeah.
So it, you know, reason suggests that it should be a two-way street, that if they've got that freedom within a chamber to say what they basically want and to defame people who have no redress, it seems reasonable that the public have a similar right to make hay of whatever they do say in Parliament. I mean, she's not... I can imagine if, say, she had an image and it wasn't a GIF, it was the next step up, so it had audio, and she was putting words into his mouth that weren't his opinions and that were themselves quite contentious or radical or, you know, were contrary to his views, then I could see that, you know, that would be maybe overstepping the mark and going beyond what would be a reasonable right to have. So I don't know. I don't know. It's a tough one.
Okay. The MP, Jared Blahey, he basically reported her to the Speaker of the House. Dobbing. Is it un-Australian?
Snitches get stitches.
So is it un-Australian?
Is it un-Australian?
To dob?
Dobbing. Is dobbing an Australian word?
It sounds like it, doesn't it?
It sounds like it.
It does sound like it.
I think if dobbing is an Australian word, then I think it's acceptable to do. I mean, it's not something that hasn't been done before. I mean, I think people do it all the time. Why not? I wouldn't hold that against somebody, regardless of the circumstances. I mean, dobbing, I think, is I suppose there's honour. There's an idea that, you know, there's mateship, and, you know, you don't do that.
Yes,
but that's a very that's a whole other very grey area. And look, if there's a law that can work to your advantage, then I don't see why anybody shouldn't dob if it's going to, you know, be in their favour to do so.
I have a contrary opinion to this.
Okay.
I think
good.
That, yeah, here we go.
Hitting up
the
vulture's nest this morning.
I think the dobbing, you know, contacting an authority figure, whether it's, you know, as a kid, your mum, a teacher, a boss, the law, the Speaker of the House, dobbing really only works when there are existing laws in place that already favour you. So if you're someone who's already favoured by the law, a politician, then of course dobbing is going to work for you because you're basically pulling authority in to act on your side, so you don't have to take care of the problem. If you are someone who is not already favoured by the law...
Or by your parents.
Or by your parents, or by pre-existing social structures, then dobbing is always going to work against you. So I am not a fan of dobbing. I believe in people handling things one-to-one, mano a mano.
So... Do you think the structures in place don't favour you, Kate?
I think that, and, you know, I'm going to, like, invoke the privilege ladder here. I think that the further away you get from being the, you know, straight white male who is at, like, the centre of society, the further you move away from that, the less authority tends to favour you. So I'm a white female, so authority pretty much favours me, like, most of the time. But if you get further and further away from that privilege and you look at maybe... you know, a refugee or an asylum seeker, authority does not favour that person, which is why authority does not act in their best interests, which is why we shouldn't dob on people unless they're straight white men. Ah!
There's also, I mean, there's dobbing and there's dobbing. And
yeah.
There's the sort of dobbing that is quite altruistic and reasonable where you stop somebody, you dob and somebody isn't able to commit further crimes, for instance.
Totally, yeah.
You know, and if there could be an idea that, you know, you've dobbed, you've somehow overstepped the mark of some system of honour, code of honour by doing so, but others would would view you as having performed a civic service.
Yeah.
So it really would depend on the circumstances as to whether one would view the dobbing as inherently wrong.
Yeah, okay, so it is circumstantial and, you know, horses for courses.
Yeah.
Maybe one of those horses is named Dobbin.
Dobbin, yeah.
So D. Madigan warned of the Streisand effect on this. Have you heard of the Streisand effect before?
Yeah. So wasn't it that Barbara Streisand was very self-conscious of her nose?
No.
She wouldn't perform facing people because she had, like, this self-consciousness about... This is correct what I'm saying, but I don't think this is what you're talking about.
Okay.
So you explain it.
David, what were you going to say?
Well, look, I did look it up because I thought it was an interesting point that somebody had talked about the Streisand effect. And so I did think that it was possibly along the lines that you're suggesting, something to do with her vanity.
Because she was famously self-conscious and she wouldn't perform facing people.
Yeah. But this was actually quite innocuous. A US coastal survey to study the effects of erosion had taken a whole series, thousands of photographs of the Californian coastline, one of which featured her Malibu mansion, which sits on a clifftop. And she didn't like the fact that the public had access to a shot of her home. And so she wanted that photo to be removed from the survey's database or something to that effect.
Oh, well, I got it completely wrong.
And then what had happened was there had only been six or so downloads of that image, two of them, I think, by her lawyer. but subsequent to her complaint about the image being available, and her wanting it removed, apparently there were tens of thousands. And so the Streisand effect is that is that concept where you complain about something and by complaining you make it far more prominent to a degree greater than would have been the case if you just shut up about it.
It didn't mention whether there was the photo showed her nose front on or side on.
Was she facing a crowd in the image? We just don't know.
No.
Well, I have seen the photo, and look, I couldn't see any nose poking out of a doorway or window.
Well, fair enough. So, do you think that the Streisand effect has happened with this? With the story with the Queensland pump?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
We're talking about it now.
Yeah, we're talking about it now, and I hadn't heard about it before. So
I mean, look. A gif of a politician ripping up a piece of paper is not that remarkable. Dee's comment on it saying, oh, here's our tax dollars at work, also not that remarkable. We say that all the time about things.
Yeah.
You know, about politicians on both sides of the debate or, you know, whichever party they come from. So the whole tweet in of itself was not really that amazing. But now...
You'd have to ask yourself, I mean, what is this guy's problem? He's a politician. How sensitive is he that he doesn't want people to see him ripping up a piece of paper?
Yeah, he shouldn't have done it.
And the thing was, do you know what it was? Do you know what it was that he was ripping up and what the issue was?
Yeah, it was a photo of Barbara Streisand's house.
Fantastic. I think we can leave that story right there. Right there. You're listening to 2SER 107.3. This is The Vulture's Nest. We've got another juicy story out of the news that we're going to... discuss with you in just a moment. Before we do that, though, we are going to listen to Spain. This is from their album Sergeant Place, and the track is called It Could Be Heaven. I don't know if they're talking about Barbara Streisand's house, but let's listen.
I hope there's a place for me when I'm through with this life. When I'm through Lord, how I hope and pray that's a place I can go. That's a place I can go. That's a place I can go.
Open Inner West Festival is back.
Celebrate 69 cultures over 10 days.
Get in touch with your cultural roots or explore communities who live here.
Book into free or low-cost workshops and events celebrating culture.
From biryani and babes, an evening of South Asian cuisine and drag,
to hip-hop, art, film, live music, football, cooking classes, and Sydney's largest Peruvian, Indonesian, Balkan, and Brazilian festivals.
Festival kicks off June 15.
For program details, go to innerwest.nsw.gov.au/openinnerwest.
To SER sponsors.
Think sustainability.
Practical actions for a better planet.
Movements, discoveries and technologies for a sustainable future.
Sundays on 2SER 107.3.
Or you can catch the podcast. Subscribe to Think Sustainability now on your podcast app of choice.
This is 2SER 107.3 and you are listening to The Vulture's Nest. Earlier in the show, we were talking about politicians and what they're allowed to say, what they're not allowed to say and what we're allowed to say and not say about them. The other story that caught our eye this week in the news was about a man being fired. Can I start off just by asking, maybe just for a perspective on this, David, Kate, have you ever been fired?
Yes.
Yes, I've had a contract not renewed.
I've been relieved of the burden of my employment. Well, the story that was made the news this week was in Los Angeles. There was a man who was a contractor, I think, to an IT company, and he turned up for work. In fact, on the way to work, he had missed a message while he was in the shower, and it was from his recruiter. And the recruiter said, "Are you okay?" And he thought, "Oh, that's odd." And he knew that there were several people at the company who had the same name as him, so perhaps it was just communication, mistake. And then when he got to work, his pass to get in didn't work, so he had to get the security guy to let him in. Luckily, he knew the security guy at work. He'd been there 8 months in a three-year work contract. And then from there, it just got worse and worse. A whole lot of things happened. He'd been locked out of his computer. When one of his colleagues went into their computer to try and find the problem, they had his name grayed out, saying inactive on it. And then basically all this to everything, a lot of his work had been deleted. And so it had turned out that there was a system in place, a computer system in place, that when somebody was terminated, that a whole lot of these things just automatically happened, that there were automatically emails sent to the recruiter, automatically emails sent to his boss, automatically sent to security. He continued to come in for a few days. Basically, they were doing a workaround because they said, "No, you're not sacked. It's all a mistake. We've got to work it out." But then I think within a couple of days, security had got their email saying to escort him off the premises. So he had to be escorted off the premises and go home for 3 weeks, not get paid for 3 weeks while they sorted it out. During that time, he was copied in on all the emails of the authority figures at work who were trying to resolve the problem. And it was a very difficult problem to solve.
Oh my goodness.
The machine had taken over, and it was very hard to take control back from the machine and get him reinstated into work.
So was he actually fired or was
No.
It? Oh, wow.
No. So, but he missed out on 3 weeks of work.
Mm.
Three weeks of work and 3 weeks of pay.
Yeah.
And then all got reinstated with an apology, but he said at that stage some of the relationships with his co-workers had been detrimentally affected. Mm. They were all very suspicious about what had happened. They thought he must have done something wrong. He said his manager was extremely supportive.
Yeah.
So there was no problems there. He had a great relationship with his manager, and his manager was very apologetic and had worked really hard to fix the problem. But it had potentially damaged his reputation with his co-workers. He's since left the company.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Under his own steam, though. He escorted himself out.
He stopped his own key card from working.
Yeah. But, you know, in the news already this year, we've had stories of self-crashing cars and things like that. With the whole firing thing, can I ask, were you fired by a human or a machine?
I was fired by a human.
Did it feel like a machine?
Yeah, they fired me over email for taking a mental health day. So
Oh, wow.
It really did feel like a machine.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Oh, that's how you got the notice fired.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they just said, please send in your last timesheet. So I sent in my last timesheet just with a little winky emoji, and I didn't send anything else.
David?
It's always been by humans.
Okay. Did it feel mechanical?
No. And in fact, it felt I could feel the awkwardness on the part of the person giving me the news, which I was grateful for receiving, actually, because I didn't want to continue working in this particular job. So it was interesting to not be disappointed at the news and to feel the other person squirming as they possibly felt.
Oh, so you were the machine in this case.
Well, yeah. But yeah, look, this just sounds like a great Hollywood movie. You know, possibly starring Will Smith. You know, it's a bit sort of like Enemy of the State or something. I mean, just the whole it just feeds into the whole paranoia about machines and robots and taking over our lives, and it's kind of inevitable the way everything's going that problems like this are going to become more and more widespread. And I guess the only good thing about this story is that there was no conscious malicious intent
that we know of.
Yeah. And it was the problem was resolved. Do we know how, in fact, what triggered what
no.
the actual start point was?
And again, I think IT company, it was just blamed on the technology. So right. You know, that nebulous, beautiful, get away with anything.
Microsoft, I blame them.
I think there might have been a mention of Microsoft in there because part of the Microsoft thing had locked him out of his work. That was one of the things that was triggered that locked him out of all his work apps. So, yeah.
It's I don't know what we do. I mean, I guess we just have to hope that IT personnel can get on top of that sort of thing before it becomes too problematic.
Yeah. Due to the technology of time, that's probably all we've got time for on that story today. But maybe I'll just finish off by asking, do we need some machines to sack tantrum politicians?
Oh, yes.
Yes? You'd vote for that?
Maybe we need machines to run.
Ooh.
I was going to say politicians.
Maybe they already are and they're just keeping it on the quiet because they're clever enough not to boast about it.
Yes. Maybe we're machines.
Shh. You said you wouldn't tell. You've been in the Vulture's Nest today with my guests, David Polterak. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Kate Islin.
Thank you so
much. Thanks for joining us, Kate. And me, Sean Morahan. If you want to make a difference without being sacked by a machine, you can support 2SER. Visit 2ser.com/donate and work your magic. Donations over $2 are tax deductible, which is much better than forking out for a retweet, which would not necessarily be tax deductible. If you're wanting warmth with wit and, well, wait, as Sophie Lyre presents So Hot Right Now with the best of arts, theatre, music, pop culture and all things creative right here on 2SER 107.3, Stories, Ideas, Music. We're going to take a little bit of a track while we're just waiting for Sophie to warm the studio up. This is Night Shift in Blue by Jonty.